Appreciate that song. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get started. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for this time that we have together today. I pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts. God, that you would use it to be a help to each of us today. And God, I pray that you would do the work that only you can do. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to begin by making a statement that may or may not need to be said. I'm going to say it regardless. And that is this, is that today's message is going to be different than how I normally approach a sermon, how I normally approach a message. And it's one of my least favorite styles, for lack of better words, by way of preaching. It's one that I don't really enjoy to hear, and I don't really enjoy presenting. And so this morning I'm giving you a message that is not at all my favorite type, and you may sit here and say, I didn't notice anything different. Well, then if you don't notice anything different, then shucks for me, right? But I'm saying to you that if you leave here this morning and you say, well, that was a little bit different, just know that I'm aware of that. I'm fully aware of that, and I'm okay with that. I just want us to be aware as we make our way into it. This morning I want to begin by making a statement that I would assume every adult in this room could make. And the statement would be this, that by the grace of God, there have been times and there have been occasions where I have made some really good decisions in my life. Just going to kind of wait till everybody tunes into the message this morning. By the grace of God, there have been many occasions where I have made some good decisions for my life. Now, I'm going to elaborate on some of those decisions this morning, not because I'm trying to brag, not because I'm trying to boast, but I want you to understand where this message is headed and what it is I'm trying to convey in the next couple of moments. So here is one of the better decisions that I have made in my life, and I thought it was a pretty good decision the moment I made it. But that decision is this, the day that I asked Susie to marry me. The day that I asked Susie to marry me. Now understand, please, I'm not looking for any brownie points whatsoever. Things are good between she and I right now. So it's not as though something happened yesterday and I'm playing nice right now. No, it was just one of the better decisions I have made in my life. Have there been challenges along the way? Have there been obstacles along the way? You better believe it. Like every marriage, we've known those challenges and we've known those difficulties. But I would say, by the grace of God, that is one of the better decisions I have ever made. Here would be another decision that I have made that I would say, man, oh man, that was a good one. And that was before we even got married, when we were engaged, we talked about the family we wanted to start. We had no intentions of waiting and saving up a lot of money and getting our careers in order and things of that nature. No, when we got engaged and we started looking to the future, one of the things that was an immediate part of our desires was we want to have a family as soon as God leads us to, as soon as God allows that. And I would not trade for anything the children that God has blessed us with. That has been a good decision on our part to have children. I'll just say this. One of the better decisions I have made over the years of my life would be to take time for the family God has blessed me with. I'm thankful that years ago, God showed me the importance of spending some alone time with Susie, just she and I together, making the marriage relationship stronger. Somebody may say, didn't you touch on this a few weeks ago? Yeah, I'm not going to go into as much detail as I did a few weeks ago. I'm just saying that was one of the better decisions that we made, to spend time together, costing us a little bit of money, things of that nature, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. All the memories that we have made with our kids, going places, doing things, enjoying the time together, it's got to be at the top of the list of the better decisions I've made with my life. I would say this, not looking for any kind of brownie points with anything or anyone this morning. One of the best decisions I ever made in my life was to move to Pampa when I didn't really want to move to Pampa. It was just one of the better decisions I've made. What God has done, what God has produced, what God has allowed in my life, that has been one of the best decisions of all the decisions I've made in life. That's been one of the best decisions I could have made. And I'm just going to say this, and I don't mean this any way other than just saying it. That is a short list of good decisions I've made in life. I could give you a whole list of good decisions I've made by the grace of God. But that being said, I want to share something else with you this morning that I think would be true of every adult. And that is as I look back over the course of my life, I can see a lot of dumb decisions I've made. A lot of knucklehead things I've done that to this day I regret. What could I possibly regret from a near flawed life, someone might ask. Yeah, right. What could I possibly regret? I regret not taking education more serious. I wish I'd studied more. I wish I'd paid attention more. I wish I'd been more serious about the whole academic process. But, you know, as a young kid and as a teenager and as a college student even, I was just a little bit too cool for all that. And education wasn't really important. And looking back on it now, I regret those decisions. And I regret that attitude. I regret somehow being able to talk my parents out of making me take piano lessons. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what the conversations were. I just know that there was a time in my life I was taking piano lessons and I was learning a little bit, but I wasn't enjoying it. And so as a result of not enjoying it, I was somehow able to talk them out of it. And today, 35 years later, you know what I wish I knew how to do? Play the piano. I wouldn't regret it at all if I knew how, but since I don't, I do regret quitting and talking them into that. I regret trying to get the attention of certain girls in high school. By the grace of God, I didn't catch a few of the ones I was chasing. Some of you men should be able to say amen to that. Because you were going after some things that if you had caught it, you would have certainly regretted it. And so I regret, though, the fact that I even put forth the effort to try to catch some of the girls in high school that I was chasing. I regret my arrogance that seemed to be a part of my life for so many years. Just this arrogance, really, that manifested itself in so many different ways. So if you follow the thought process, here's what you see. I've made some really good decisions by the grace of God that I am thankful for and that I have no regrets for. I have no regrets of doing those things. And yet, I have other decisions. I have made other decisions in my life that I do greatly regret. And just to let you know, the ones that I've shared with you, that too is a very short list. That is a very short list of regrets that I have in life. Now let's listen. Have there been some good decisions? Yes. Have I made some poor decisions? No doubt. And here's what's unfortunate. Usually the good decisions I thought they were pretty good decisions whenever I was making them. But the bad decisions, the things I regret, I wasn't smart enough to see how I would regret it in the future when I was making those decisions that would come back to haunt me. Now, why mention that? Well, this morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 is where we're going to be, and some may say, haven't we visited this passage lately? And I would say to you, yes, we have visited it in the very recent past. It was about 3 months ago that we looked at this same portion of Scripture, but because we're approaching it from a little bit different angle, I felt the liberty to come back to this portion of Scripture and to visit it once more. But Romans chapter 14 is where we're going to be this morning. And as you find your place there, I just want to remind you a little bit of the context so that we know what's going on here. The Apostle Paul was writing to believers there in the city of Rome. And as he was writing to these believers in Rome, there were issues in that church with those believers like there are in any day, in any age, in any time with any group of people. And something that they were squabbling over, something that they were dealing with, something that they were trying to hash out amongst themselves was this, is what day you should worship, what day you should serve the Lord, what meats you should eat, what meats you should not eat. And Paul was trying to give some instruction, and Paul was trying to give some insight, and he was trying to bring some clarity to the debates and the discussions they were having. And essentially what Paul said was this, is a lot of what you're making issues about really are not issues whatsoever. A lot of the things that you're squabbling over really don't need to be squabbled over. And a lot of the things that you're fussing about, they just don't need to be fussed about. And as he is saying all that, he continues to write and down to what we would call verse number 10. And here's what he says, or he asks. He says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" Why are you casting judgment upon your brother? Why is it that you are doing that? He said, "Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" Why are you dismissing your brother because of these trivial differences that exist between you? And then he shares with them this truth that all of us know, but I think sometimes we lose sight of. Paul, as a believer, writing to fellow believers, said this, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Here is the Apostle Paul writing to fellow believers, and he reminds them of this truth. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In verse number 11, he goes on to say this, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." And what Paul is declaring in verse number 11 is this, is that there is coming a day when every person who has lived and every person who has existed on this earth, there is going to come a day when in the presence of God, you are going to bow to Him, and you are going to confess that He is God, that He is Lord, and you are going to worship Him. The Apostle Paul said it's going to happen for every person. They will one day bow the knee and worship God in the way He deserves to be worshiped. It doesn't matter how rich a person may be. It doesn't matter how influential a person may be. It does not matter if a person is a Gnostic, if a person is an atheist. It doesn't matter if a person is a scoffer, is a mocker, is a scorner. It does not matter. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that God is God, plain and simple. It's going to happen. Someone may say, "Well, I just don't believe it's going to take place. I just don't believe that that's going to happen." That's fine. You can believe whatever you wish at your own risk. If you're right and I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. If I'm right and you're wrong, as we all know, you've lost everything. Amen. So Paul says in verse number 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." He said, every knee shall bow to the Lord. Every person is going to worship God as He deserves to be worshiped. And every tongue will confess and acknowledge and declare that God is who He is. And then in verse number 12 it says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Again, Paul said, every one of us. not just a hand-picked crowd, not just a certain number of people, not just those who draw the short straw. It'll not just be a certain segment of people that will stand before the Lord. No, Paul said that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And so what Paul was saying is this, is everyone is going to stand and give an answer for the life God gave them. Every one of us, everyone who has ever walked on this earth, that's impossible. That would take forever. Well, we just happen to have forever at that point. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't know what the process will be. But Paul said that every one of us are going to give an account of ourselves to God. As I thought about that this week, I couldn't help but make that very personal, which is really something all of us ought to do. We ought to make this very personal. I am going to stand before God one day and give an account for this life that He gave me. And as I thought about that, here's where it gets maybe a little bit different, maybe a little bit unusual compared to how we would normally approach a message like this. But as I thought about that, I thought, what are some of the things that I will stand before the Lord as it relates to my life? What are some of the things that will be true of me that I will be able to say, by the grace of God, that was a good decision on my part to live my life that way? So I thought to myself, this truth. When I stand before the Lord, I will not regret the day that I acknowledge that I was a sinner. That I was in desperate need of a Savior, and that I was the only one, or that He was the only one, I need to rephrase that, that I had to call out to Him, and that He was the only one who could save me from my sins. I will never regret acknowledging my sin, that He is the Savior, and that only He could save me. That will not be something I am disappointed in on that day that I stand before God. I'll certainly not regret this, that I decided to make it public and follow the Lord in obedience by way of baptism, just trying to let the world know I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. My baptism had nothing to do with my salvation. There is no connection to that act in salvation whatsoever. But it was this outward sign to the world, to whomever was looking on that day. It was that sign on my part to those people that said, I want to follow the Lord. I'd really like us to hear this, okay? I'll not regret the day that I called upon Christ to save me and the day that I followed Him in believer's baptism, just letting the world know that's who I want to follow and that's who I want to serve. Whenever I stand before the Lord, here is what I am sure of, that I will never, ever regret the time that I made spiritual growth a priority in my life. You understand this? The choice that I made to make spiritual growth a priority in my life, I will never regret that when I stand before the Lord that day. Whenever I stand before God, I'm not going to regret having been in the house of God, maybe more than I was required to, in order to be right with Him. I'm not going to get to heaven and Him say, man, you didn't need to go to church near as often as you did, but come on in anyways. Listen, I'm not going to regret that. I will be appreciative that the house of God was something that was a priority in my spiritual life. I will not regret over the years the untold hours that I spent in the Word of God, just me and the Word. Are we hearing this? I'll not regret it. One day I'm going to stand in the presence of the Lord. Listen, I don't know what it'll be like, but one day it will be me and God and He and I alone, and I'll be giving an account for the life that He gave me, and I will never regret a moment that I spent in His Word trying to get to know Him just a little bit better. I will never regret the prayers that I prayed, regardless of the nature of the prayers. It'll not be a regret. It'll be something I'm thankful for. It'll be something that I'm glad of, that there was that time that I set aside in my personal life that said, God, I want to come to You in prayer for this or whatever it may be. God lead, God guide, God show, God give direction. I'll not stand before the Lord and be disappointed that I made spiritual growth the priority in my life. When I stand before the Lord, I'll not be disappointed in the times that I repented of sin that became present in my life. I'm as much a human as anyone else is, and so there are times that I let sin enter into my life. And there are times that sin gets a foothold in my life, and there are times that sin finds a dwelling place in my life, and I like the sin, and I get comfortable with the sin. And there are times that the Holy Spirit convicts me of the sin. And there have been times that as a result of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, I have made those sins right. I have asked for forgiveness for what I have done wrong. And for every sin that I have repented of, in an effort to keep the relationship with God what it's supposed to be, I'll not be disappointed in that. I'll be thankful for the decision that was made. When I stand before the Lord, I'll not be disappointed that I tried to invest in the lives of other people. It doesn't matter where the investment took place. It doesn't matter the nature in which the investment took place. If I tried to invest in a person's life, I'll not be disappointed on that day that I stand before the Lord. As I stand before the Lord, I'll certainly not be disappointed in this decision. The amount of money that we gave to further the cause of Christ. When I stand before God, I'll not be looking up, into His face, into His eyes, saying, man, I could have driven a newer car. We could have lived in a bigger home. We could have done so much more if I just hadn't given so much. No, whenever I stand in the presence of the Lord, I'll not be disappointed for a moment. Every penny that was given with the right heart and a right spirit to the cause of Christ, the cause of worldwide missions, the things of God, I'll not be disappointed on that day when I stand before the Lord. Amen. I'll not be disappointed. The times I chose to walk in obedience when my flesh said, go a different direction and do something else. You understand this, the parallel I'm trying to make here? As I go through life, I can look back and I can say, I'm thankful I did that. I'm thankful I did this. I'm thankful I did that. And as it relates to my spiritual life, the day that I stand before the Lord, I'll be so grateful, and I'll not be disappointed that I can truly say, I made the personal choice to call upon Christ as my Savior. I made the choice to follow Him in believer's baptism, to let the world know that I choose to follow Christ. I'll not be disappointed that I made spiritual growth a priority. I'll not be disappointed that I repented of sin. I'll not be disappointed that I invested in others, that I gave to the cause of Christ, and that I tried to live in obedience. That's just a short list of what I'll not be disappointed about when I stand before the Lord. But as I look back over the course of my life, you know what I can't help but acknowledge? Already, if I had to stand before the Lord today, there would be certain definite areas of regret. Say, well, what do you mean? I mean this. While I am thankful for making spiritual growth a priority in my life, it has not always been a priority in my life. I've certainly had days, I have certainly had weeks, I have had months, and I have even had years in my spiritual life where spiritual maturity was not a priority. I can look back over the course of my life and see the number of weeks and months and years when my Bible sat dormant, though I called myself a Christian. I'll regret that. Kyle, you had this season of life where you had no hunger and you had no desire for my word. Why was that? I'll have no answer for that. Other than that is what I chose for my life. As poor of a decision as it was, that is what I chose for my life. Kyle, I look here over the course of these months and over the course of these years, and here's what I see here, that in all these months, in all these years, that you identified yourself as a child of God, you spent no real time in prayer unless you found yourself in need. Why is that? I'll have no good answer to give on that day. You understand that that'll be a regret on my part? Not everyone does, apparently, but it will be. It'll be a regret on my part that I did not take advantage of the opportunities I had. There's going to be a time that I stand before the Lord, and I'll have to acknowledge the number of times where pride kept me from repenting when I knew I needed to repent. I knew the Holy Spirit of God had been speaking to me in a very real way. The Holy Spirit of God was saying, Kyle, you know that's not right. Kyle, you know that's not the way it's supposed to be. Kyle, that is not at all how I am leading you and guiding you. But because I enjoyed the sin, because I was comfortable with the sin, I held on to the sin and I did not repent of it. Listen, for all the time lost during that season of rebellion, I'll have to give an answer for it. And friend, I'll regret it when I have to give that answer for my rebellion and my pride and my disobedience. There is coming a day whenever I stand before the Lord. I know this. That something to this effect will be brought up. Kyle, you could have invested in their life. Kyle, you could have done more for this person. Kyle, you could have done more for this family. Kyle, you could have been more outward in your personality with these people. But see, here's what I'm seeing, Kyle, that during this season of your life, here's what you were worried about. You were worried about you. And that didn't really fit with your schedule, investing in other people. And that didn't really fit with what you had going on in your little world at that time. And Kyle, because of that, others lost out because you were disobedient and because you didn't invest. And I'm going to have to give an answer for that. I don't get to just gloss over that and say, well, Lord, just remember all the times I did invest in people and let's not worry about the times I was selfish and self-absorbed. No, I'll have to give an answer for that, and I will regret having not invested in the lives of more people whenever I stand before God, because it wasn't really what I wanted for my life. Does this make sense? I think there's going to come a point whenever I stand before the Lord. He's going to say something to this effect. I don't know how it'll come out, but I believe it would be fair if it came out this way. Kyle, I blessed you with financial resources. Let's take a look for just a moment and see what you did with those. Well, you could have done this, and you could have done this, and you could have done this, and you could have done that, but you didn't. Now let's look at why. You didn't. Well, because you were busy saving for this, and because you were busy planning for this, and you were busy thinking about yourself as it related to this, and it was all about this, and all about this, and it was all about this, and you could have done so much more for the cause of Christ with your finances, but no, what you did was, rather than living by faith, you worked it all out on paper and said, no, this is what I can afford to do. No, this is what would be reasonable for us to do, and no, I don't really want to be crazy in my giving, and so because of that, there were souls that suffered because of your tight hand and because of your stinginess. And I'm just telling you, there will be things in my life that whenever I stand before the Lord, I will regret the selfishness that I lived with according to my finances. It's going to happen. Because I know some of the failures I've had in my life. Of all the things I've done right, the list is every bit as long of the things I've done wrong. So I'll stand before the Lord one day, and will I be able to say, by the grace of God, this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened? Yes. But unfortunately, I'll also stand before God and have to say this. I failed there. I failed miserably right here. God, I wasn't even close right here. And I promise you, I will regret it. It says I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. My works will be judged. Not my salvation, but my works will be judged. And I'll give an account for everything I've done, good and bad. And again, as long as my list is for any positive things I may have done, right things I may have done, I'll have that many wrong things that I've done that I regret. And I know I've said this in the past, but I'm going to say it again. I don't want to stand before the Lord with any more regrets than I've already got. And I don't want to stand before the Lord with any more regrets than I need to. And so what does that mean? It means this for me, maybe not for anyone else, but it means this. I need to pay a little bit more attention to what I'm doing on a daily basis. See, because it's just like my regrets of quitting piano or not taking my education serious or whatever it may be. See, in the moment, I didn't realize how poor those decisions were until later. Well, see, now I'm in my 40s. and I can't claim the same level of ignorance and immaturity that I once could. And so now I've got to be a little bit more mindful, and now I've got to use a little bit more discernment and a little bit more discretion and ask myself, okay, whenever I stand before the Lord, am I really going to want that to be a part of my story? Whatever it is that's got my attention, whatever it is that I'm engaged in, for whatever it is that's driving me right now, when I stand before the Lord, is that really going to be what I want to have as a part of the story? I'm just trying to remind us today of what we all already know. We, every one of us, will stand before the Lord. We're going to stand before the Lord. I find no humor in that whatsoever. We will stand before the Lord and give an account for the life that we've lived. And friends, if we don't want that moment when we stand before God to be filled with regret, then we better pay attention to what we're doing today. It's not anything that comes natural. It's not anything that comes easy. But it is something that must be done if we don't want to wake up one day and say, I am so sorry for the years that have been wasted pursuing what I wanted to pursue rather than what God wanted me to pursue. We'll stand before Him. Give an answer. So what will that answer look like as a result of decisions we've made? Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this morning. Lord, I don't know how this message has spoken to the heart of any person in here today. God, I pray that the distractions have been minimal. I pray that people have let you speak to their heart no matter what. And Lord, I pray that every one of us would do some serious soul searching before you. Because if we're honest, most of us would have to say we've certainly got those moments in our spiritual lives that are filled with regret, that we would love to be able to change things if we could. But Lord, knowing that we can't, I pray that you'd help us to give a little bit more attention to what we're doing today so that we'll not regret in the future the decisions we're making right now. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.